And yet Jesus knows that if those people are using His name, they will feel His Spirit, and when they feel His Spirit, they will be transformed by that Spirit. And so He tells John, no, don't make them stop. If they're for us, they can't be against us. If they're doing things in My name, they will be changed. They will come to understand. They will hear the call, even if they're not part of our circle of friends. Don't push them away. Leave the door open. Leave the possibility open that they may learn and grow and become one with us in spirit, if not in the day-to-day things. And then Jesus says something that I have always been in awe of. He says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. Just a cup of water. Because you are Christ people. Just a momentary kindness. Because they see Me in you. Do people do things for you because you are Christ people? I recently went looking for a tricycle because my knees have not been being nice to me here lately. I think they're getting a little older. Tom, you know about that. And so I decided that if I wanted to keep up my exercise, I needed to get a bike or a trike, and I knew bikes tend to fall over, and I've been there and done that. The last time I rode a bicycle any distance, I crashed in front of a bunch of co-eds and thoroughly injured my ego, if not my knees. And when I found out what a new trike cost, I said, well, I don't think we can afford that. So we started looking on Craigslist, and lo and behold, I found one on Craigslist, and the gentleman who owned it was nice enough to meet me, and we took a look at it, and it looked good, and we started to talk about price, and, well, what do you know? He's a Methodist. So I got a good price for it. Amen. So Rosie and I have been traveling around the neighborhood, me on my tricycle, and her running beside me, and boy, she does love to run. She's husky. She's sled dog. She thinks that's a good thing. We won't lose a reward if we do things for people because they carry Christ's name, because they know Christ, because they love Him. We don't have to be Bethel. We don't have to be branded Christian. We just have to love people who love Christ. And we will get some reward. But then he flips the script here a little bit and says, if you put a stumbling block in front of one of those little ones who believe in Me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. I don't know if you've seen a millstone, but some of them are bigger around than I am tall, and they're made out of stone, and they're huge. I mean, an anchor would be bad enough. I certainly couldn't swim with one of those around my neck, but a millstone, you'd be... no chance. Yeah, there we go. A millstone around your neck, just for being a stumbling block. Well, how do we be a stumbling block? And then I realized that the rest of the scripture is talking about stumbling blocks. What is it in our lives that keep us from being examples of Christ's love? What is it in our lives that keep us from being Christ-like? What is it in our lives that keep us from doing God's work or speaking God's word? Those are the things we should cut out, eliminate, do away with, do without, put aside, because they are interfering with our being the people that we should be, the people we can be, the people we could be, if we would just take those things away. And I was reminded of a quote, and I think it's from Rudyard Kipling, but perhaps some of you know, Someone said, I cursed God because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. We complain all the time about what we don't have. We don't appreciate the things we do have until we have to do without them. We take our sight for granted, Sue, until we can't see. We take our breathing for granted, Mamie, until we can't breathe. We take walking for granted, Tom, until we can't walk. We take our lives and the people around us for granted, those gifts, those wonderful things that God has given us, because we think we deserve them. We think they're things that we have earned. We think they're things that we have done, until suddenly we realize that without God, we don't have any of those things. Amen. And then Jesus says something that I found a little cryptic at first. He talks about everyone being salted with fire. And that salt is good, but if it's lost its saltiness, how can you season? Well, what is salt anyway? What does salt do for us? It's a preservative, for one thing. It keeps things from going bad, but it also makes stuff taste good. We had Ralph and Carolyn staying with us, and Carolyn is in many ways a very good cook, but she doesn't eat much salt. And the first time I ate her cooking, it was like, where's the salt? Salt has a richness, a pungency, a flavor that brings out other flavors. To me, meat just doesn't taste like meat until you put a little salt on it. Things don't taste right until you put a little salt on them. You can't taste the taste of the thing you're eating without the salt to add to it. What do we do to make the world a better place? To make the world more wonderful, to make the world more rich, to make the world more flavorful, to make life better for the people that we're around? Are we the salt that makes the world better for other people? Or are we without salt, without flavor, without anything to contribute? When we do God's work, when we do God's will, when we walk the walk and talk the talk, then we are the salt of the world. We are the people who make life interesting, worthwhile, and do those things that God would have us do to make the world a better place. Annie has spoken so eloquently through her tears of how much this church means to her, how this congregation has filled her life with joy and flavor and richness when before it was without hope, without happiness, without future, without a chance, without a future. We can be the salt for the world. We can be the ones who make others who are hopeless and lost see that there is a possibility of wonder and joy and awe in just everyday life by the way we live our lives. Do you let people see how much you love them? Do you let people see how much you enjoy your life? Do you let people see how proud you are of your children? I know Patsy does. So that they can appreciate the things and people that are around them. What a sad thing it is to see families that get torn apart by harsh words, failure to forgive, unwillingness to understand. What a joy it is to have a family who reaches out to each other, that wants to be a part of each other, that wants to be together and live together and do God's will. Thank you for being the salt in my life. Not the salt in my wound now, The salt that makes things more flavorful. The salt that makes things more rich. The salt that makes life more worth the living. Because I know I have been places in my life where I wasn't sure life was worth living. And that's a terrible place to be. When we have God in our lives, life becomes wondrous, magical, exciting, thrilling, fulfilling, and filled with love. Amen.